piano, a marimba, and something else. Singing glasses. The music is somehow familiar. It is sweet sounding, the chords are elegant, and yet there's something slightly different about them. They're tuned differently. And when you actually watch the video of this music, to which we are listening right now, you'll see that the marimba is in fact twice as long as any you've ever seen. And the piano has colors on the keys. And that beautiful singing sound is, in fact, a series of wine glasses on a wall, all twirling at the same time. And as the player reaches up with a gloved finger and sets each to singing, you realize you're somewhere else. Welcome to the world of Chris Forster and the Chrysalis Foundation. That's exactly what Chris Forster has taken. And he's still on that voyage, having created a handful of extraordinary musical instruments that do things that standard musical instruments simply can't do. Some look familiar, and some are like nothing you've ever seen before.
A child said, "What is the grass?" Fetching it to me with full hands. How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven, or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrance, a designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name some way in the corners, that we may see and remark and say, who?
You may recognize the text of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. The instrument is something absolutely brand new. It's called a chrysalis, and it uses plucked strings, but in a manner that is quite unusual. If you happen to be near a computer, you may want to log on to chrysalis-foundation.org and actually see the instruments. What we're going to do is spend a little time today with a special video just released, well, DVD, of course, just released by the Chrysalis Foundation, explaining the history of Chris Forster's amazing instruments and its music. A voyage in music.
With degrees in both history and piano performance, Chris left academia in 1974, sold his grand piano to buy a bandsaw, and built his first instrument.
Well, the easiest way to describe the chrysalis would be to say that it's a circular harp. And the key component of that circular harp is that the circle turns. So there are 82 strings on one side, and then there are, on the other side, there are another 82 strings. So we have two facing soundboards, which is very unusual. Most instruments have only one soundboard. So you have a very live acoustic chamber between these two soundboards, which helps with regard to the overall resonance of the instrument. And the instrument was inspired by an Aztec calendar. I saw this huge stone-hewn calendar, and I said there must be an instrument in the shape of a circle. And then I thought of the spokes on the bicycle, and they make a lovely sound when the bicycle spokes are properly tuned. And so I got to the chrysalis, and I intentionally placed the bridges eccentrically to the center, which means that I have long strings and I have short strings. If the bridge was placed concentrically, all the strings would be of the same length, which would mean that the tuning possibilities would be extremely limited.
For me, this instrument is more like playing a harp than a guitar. First of all, I don't have to fret anything. I only play with right and left hand strumming-like technique. I had to learn how to control the high and low sounds in a different way, and I have to be able to turn the instrument to get to different areas of the instrument's range. For example, a low sound and a high sound are completely different on completely different sides of the wheel. Likewise, on the other side, it's the same thing.
Intrigued by ancient instruments described by Pythagoras, Euclid, and Ptolemy that were used to analyze and play many different kinds of intervals and scales, Chris next built the harmonic melodic canon.
The word canon comes from the Greek, and it means ruler, as in a ruler for measuring lengths, and also ruler in the sense of a working principle. So the beautiful aspect about the canon is that it has movable bridges, and one can place these bridges anywhere along the length of the string, which means that a canon can be precisely mathematically tuned to any scale worldwide. It doesn't matter what culture, I can tune any scale from anywhere on a canon because the bridges are infinitely movable.
Many years later, Chris built a bass counterpart to the harmonic melodic canon. The two canons are identical in most respects, but the bass canon is tuned an octave lower. Since long, thin, and flexible wound strings are not commercially available, Chris built a string winding machine to make his own custom wound strings for this instrument.
This is a bass canon. It has 72 strings on it. There's movable bridges here. All these are movable bridges. And that's how we set the tuning. So this is a tablature score. These numbers indicate what string to start on. There's two different sets of numbers here. The 36 does not have a star by it. That means to play on the right side of the bridge. And the 30 here has a star by it, which means to play on the left side of the bridge. As you can see, there's a little L here, meaning I start the stroke with my left hand, and an R here, meaning I start the stroke with my right hand. The rhythm is pretty much all eighth notes for the most part of the piece, as you can see. So the rhythm is traditionally notated, other than the fact that you play about six strings to one pitch. You see that there's ratios here, for example, 3-2.
And of course, seeing is exactly what you can't do if you're listening to the radio. What we're listening to is A Voyage in Music, the story of Chris Forster's amazing instruments. And by the way, if you're interested in seeing some of these stand still, then you can check out online chrysalis-foundation.org, chrysalis-foundation.org. Let's return to a recently released recording of from way back in the 1970s when Chris Forster first created the Chrysalis and recorded a whole cycle of the poetry of Walt Whitman.
With music strong I come, with my cornets and my drums. I play not marches for accepted victors only. I play marches for conquered and slain persons. Have you heard that it was good to gain the day? I also say it is good to fall. Battles are lost in the same spirit in which they are won. I beat and pound for the dead. I blow through my armatures my loudest and gayest for them. Leave us to those who have failed, and to those whose war vessels sank in the sea, and to those themselves who sank in the sea, and to all generals that lost engagements, and all overcome heroes, and the numberless unknown heroes equal to the greatest heroes known.
Chris Forster performing just one of the many songs of the songs of myself, Leaves of Grass of Walt Whitman. This wonderful cycle that he created in the 1970s, accompanying himself on the Chrysalis, a circular harp, a double-sided circular harp, yes, I kid you not, and you can see it, of course, online at chrysalis-foundation.org. It's all explained and explored very with a lot of beautiful detail in a brand new DVD, which has been released by the Chrysalis Foundation, explaining Chris Forster's work, A Voyage in Music. Now, harmonic canons, diamond-shaped marimbas, does this sound all familiar somehow? Of course, some people will say, we've heard these words before. Harry Partridge's instruments sounded like that, were named like that, perhaps even looked like that. Well, there is a tenuous connection, of course, because the incredible artistry that Chris Forster brings to his own instruments, he, in fact, spent many years rebuilding the Partridge instruments, the original Partridge instruments. And, of course, when he left that group, he kept going, creating instruments of his own design, taking the principles of pure intonation even further than that American iconoclast who had died in 1974, Harry Partridge, creating instruments that were perhaps based on those, but also coming up with something brand new, like this fascinating instrument, which is called the glass dance, because that's exactly what's happening.
Thank you.
Now, if you've ever had a glass of wine in your hand, or perhaps a water glass, the oldest trick in the world, the exact thing you've told your children never to do at the table, is rub around the rim and get that glass to vibrate and make a beautiful sound. And, of course, how much water is in the glass will help determine what the pitch is. Well, Chris Forster's glass dance takes it one step further. Rather than have the player rub their finger around the rim itself turns, and the player simply holds the finger up to it. Now, that might also sound familiar, something like Benjamin Franklin's glass harmonica, invented, in the time of Benjamin Franklin, of course, back in the 1700s, when concentric crystal bowls were dipped in a trough of water and one simply touched their rims to get them to go. What's different here is a wall of turning glasses. The glasses are, in fact, dancing, which is where the instrument gets its name. They're all turning simultaneously, and the player reaches forward and touches the edge of each one. A wall of glasses. Extraordinary. Is it 6x6 or 7x7? A little hard to tell. But a whole field of spinning glass. And the other important difference is, as all the instruments of Chris Forster, the scales to which these instruments are tuned are that of pure tuning, natural tuning, the harmonics. It's known as just intonation. The combination of pure crystal and pure tuning is pretty irresistible. Heidi Forster, Chris Forster's wife, plays the glass dance in Chris's composition, Lullaby. The Lullaby by Chris Forster, performed on the Glass Dance by Heidi Forster. More instruments now, all found on this wonderful new recording, which is in fact a DVD, explaining the music and instruments of Chris Forster, A Life in Music, A Voyage in Music. You'll find out more about it at chrysalis-foundation.org. Now we explore a marimba. But not just any kind of marimba. It's shaped like a diamond. The keys don't just go left to right, but left to right and up and down. And of course, they're tuned to pure tunings. Thank you. dream time of Chris Forster's. Making instruments, composing music, is certainly one thing, but getting it performed is another issue entirely. And of course, Chris Forster's precursor, Harry Partch, had exactly the same problem. Every time he moved cities, he had to retrain an entire new cadre of performers. Chris Forster is very fortunate just in the last year or two to have assembled a group of performers, and for the first time in his life as a composer, an instrument maker, and musical visionary, has been able to perform his music in public. And that's being documented by this wonderful new DVD called A Voyage in Music, a film by Eli Noyes and Heidi Forster. Again, more information at chrysalis-foundation.org, and that'll be on our website later at kpfk.org. The Diamond Marimba of Chris Forster in his composition, Dreamtime. It's the Global Village here at 90.7 FM, KPFK, Los Angeles. We're exploring the extraordinary musical world of Chris Forster during this hour. Chris Forster, who lives, by the way, in San Francisco. Yes, these instruments are alive and well up north, and just recently have found a new home, a studio where, for the first time, they can all be played together at the same time. What instruments are we talking about? The glass dance, the bass marimba, the bass harmonic melodic canon, the harmonic melodic canon, and something called just keys as well. Just keys sounds, well, it almost says exactly what it means. It is, of course, a piano, but what's different is that the strings are tuned in this pure system called just intonation. Here's a piece by Chris Forster that he'll be performing. It's called Far Away, from the new DVD, A Voyage in Music. the music of Chris Forster from a much larger work, which is still in progress, parts of which that have been performed at his special studio up in San Francisco. The film that we're listening to, well, we're watching it here, and you can watch it too, actually, it's called A Voyage in Music, a special film about the life, instruments, and music of Chris Forster. It's by Eli Noyes and Heidi Forster and is available from the Chrysalis Foundation website. That's chrysalis-foundation.org and is extraordinarily inexpensive. It's only $10. So if you'd like to visit these instruments and see what they're all about, you certainly have an opportunity right there. The Chrysalis Foundation has been together for quite a while because, of course, putting together an amazing series of instruments plus music is quite a job, and that's the job of the Chrysalis Foundation.
Chris's imagination was filled with ideas for more instruments, but how could he afford the expensive tooling, machinery, and raw materials required to build such extraordinary instruments? None of it would have been possible without the Chrysalis Foundation. In 1982, Chris realized that he would need more than just determination and good luck to accomplish his goals. So, he established a non-profit arts foundation. This was an unusually far-sighted move for such a young artist, and the Chrysalis Foundation proved to be, literally, a crucial foundation for his future work. Chris used his nonprofit status in an unconventional way. Rather than to ask for donations of money, he went directly to the industrial sector and solicited parts, tools, and materials for the construction of the instruments. He met with resounding success. Many companies were eager to donate or to discount everything from a diamond blade bandsaw to ball bearings to crystal glasses in return for recognition in foundation publications and in concert program notes. They were also delighted by the prospect of such novel applications for their products. And so the ensemble of instruments continued to grow. The bass marimba is by far the largest, most massive, and most powerful instrument Chris has built. It is over 12 feet long, and all of the 24 exceptionally large bars are made of Honduras rosewood. Despite its enormous size, this instrument requires only a screwdriver to assemble. Hand knobs hold all the large structural components together. As an ensemble, all of the other instruments would not be complete without the bass marimba, which was designed for a rich and powerful tone. The bass marimba will be at the heart of many future compositions.
This is the bass marimba that I built. It consists of 24 rosewood bars and 24 resonators underneath. The resonators act to amplify the sound from the bars. The resonators are tuned to the same frequencies as the bars, so when the two come together, there's a coupling, and it makes the sound much louder. The lowest bar on this instrument is G, which is the lowest G on the piano, and that's why it's called a bass marimba. It vibrates at 49 cycles per second. Then there is another G, and the different 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bars, and to get to the next G takes 18 bars. So the central area of the marimba has an unusual tuning, which reflects my desire to hear pitches that are normally not available. The bars are tuned by cutting arches into the undersides of the bar. Here, for example, you see three arches, a short arch, then a long arch, and a short arch. And then tuning the bar, I use a drum sander and a belt sander. And each bar has three pitches that I tune. I don't just tune the obvious pitch that everybody hears, which is called the fundamental, but I also tune the second mode of vibration and the third mode of vibration. The first five resonators consist of boxes, and the other resonators consist of tubes. There's no difference in terms of the acoustical
production of sound. But there's a big difference in terms of how these resonators work in terms of their physics. And the reason why I use boxes in the lower end is because for these frequencies, one would have to have a tube approximately this long, which I did not want. I would like all my musicians to stand on the floor instead of standing on risers. So I developed a special tuning technique for the box resonators in order to have the same musical qualities from these resonators as from the tube resonators.
The voice of Chris Forster explaining his extraordinary instruments. It's all part of this video, A Voyage in Music. Eli Noyes and Heidi Forster put it together. Now, it takes a lot of homework, to say the least, to figure out how to build these amazing musical instruments. And I've actually seen them. They are extraordinary. They are, in fact, of museum quality. They are extraordinary. The skill is certainly one thing, and Chris Forster is the ultimate craftsman. But there's a lot of brain work that goes behind it. He's also put together an amazing book, which will help future generations figure out all about tuning and music.
After so many years of building, tuning, and exploring uncharted spaces, Chris decided to write a book. He wanted to educate his fellow musicians and to give them facts conventional educations had left out. Musical mathematics is his effort to raise the standard of acoustic music study and to challenge those who care about this discipline to a deeper investigation into what it means to make music.
From 1991 to 2000, I spent 10 years writing a book called Musical Mathematics, A Practice in the Mathematics of Tuning Instruments and Analyzing Scales. The first third of the book, or the first quarter of the book, has to do with my knowledge of building instruments in terms of all the questions that have to do with resonance and actual manipulation of wood, glass, and steel. The other part of the book has to do with an appreciation of the mathematics of tuning in the Western world and also in other cultures of the world that have tuning traditions that go back 2,000 or more years. And so in this volume, I've tried to give hands-on knowledge, practical knowledge about tuning and about analyzing scales.
This volume is 1,300 pages long, and the Chrysalis Foundation is in the process of publishing this book. And this information is to be passed on to generations, to be used. So maybe there won't be three bass marimbas, but maybe somebody will get this book, a builder, and say, this is just what I needed. Now I can build what I've been dreaming of. And that will be something we can't even imagine. But thus the music and thus the knowledge is passed on.
That's the voice of Heidi Forster, who is, of course, related. They do have the same last name. She's been supporting Chris Forster for all these wonderful years and heading up the Chrysalis Foundation, making sure that things move ahead. Once again, if you've just joined us, we're talking about the music, the instruments, and up until now, the life of Chris Forster. And by the way, he sends his regards. He was meant to speak with us on the radio today, but is in fact preparing that very same publication. He's at the publishers and working hard to make sure that all of this information will in fact be able to get out into the hand. But some of the pages from this wonderful book, Musical Mathematics, are available on their website, chrysalisfoundation.org. That's Chrysalis with a dash between chrysalisandfoundation.org. And that information will be on our website at KPFK. The one missing link in all of this is Chris's extraordinary experience as an immigrant in this country. He was born in South America, learned one language, then moved to Germany, learned a second language, and then moved to this country, a triple immigrant. And his first large work is called Ellis Island, Angel Island, A Vision of the American Immigrants. It is that music that he's been working on for these many years, and hopefully will finish soon. But on this video, we do have some extraordinary musical excerpts, including this, when all the instruments play together. a composition called The Harbor for Bass Marimba, Glass Dance, and Diamond Marimba. Music from Chris Forster's new musical adventure. Soon to be finished, we hope. Ellis Island, Angel Island, a vision of the American immigrants. Let's finish now with Blue Nights, a composition for four of the Forster instruments. And once again, this music is available on a DVD to which we are listening, A Voyage in Music, available from the Chrysalis Foundation. It is, of course, the music and the instruments of our featured guest for this hour, Chris Forster. the music of Chris Forster, performed by an ensemble that will eventually premiere the entire piece, Ellis Island, Angel Island Division of the American Immigrants, Blue Nights, the music and the instruments of Chris Forster. For further information, you can go to the website, see these instruments, well, still pictures of them, at chrysalis-foundation.org, or for a very nominal price, only about $10 plus shipping, this new DVD, A Voyage in Music. We've been listening to it, a film by Eli Noyes and Heidi Forster. And there is now a recording available of Walt Whitman's text that was set to this wonderful, brand new, in 1970 instrument, the chrysalis, Song of Myself, intoned poems of Walt Whitman by Chris Forster, all available from the chrysalisfoundation.org, going in absolutely new directions. Chris Forster living in San Francisco with his wife Heidi and, of course, his instruments. It's the Global Village, music from around the world and around the block. I'm your Thursday host, John Schneider, bringing you international music, both local and, of course, from elsewhere on the planet, every weekday from 10 until 12 here in KPFK. A different host every day, which is great. You get a different point of view, different record collections, and so much more on KPFK Los Angeles.